That's a pretty good deal.
It's a pretty good deal.
If I don't know much about math, Scott, as
you
we
don't
well
know.
As we but well that's know. A pretty darn good deal.
Smith.
Oh, there we go.
Next on 2 Main Street, a preview of the WNIN TV auction, which will be online this September. I'm David James. No phone bids. So how do you bid on such items as the Rainbow Bench or the latest birdhouse creation? Well, all you need to know is coming up, along with memories of past auctions, those strange items, and why the auction is so important to public media's bottom line, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic. So get fired up for the WNIN TV auction next on 2 Main Street.
That's a pretty good deal.
It's a pretty good deal. If
I don't know much about math, Scott. As
you
we
don't
well know.
As we
but
well
that's
know.
A pretty darn good deal.
Smith.
Oh, there we go.
And all the money stays at WNIN PBS TV right here locally to support the great local program and national program. That's why we're here.
Only about $20 away from making this over, but that's the plate kitchen
yes,
set.
They say they're gone.
They're gone.
But I say so!
And we are back on the WNIN Spring Auction, and yes, we are on the infamous Rainbow Bench. And we are going to be selling this right now, folks.
The excitement of the WNIN Auction, a tradition for decades and a major fundraiser for public media in the tri-state. From the WNIN Public Media Center in downtown Evansville, I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street. The TV auction is coming up in September, and bidding will start soon. But because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the auction format is different. No phone bank, no crowded studio. But WNIN viewers can still experience the thrill of an auction by bidding online. In this program, we'll go over the new format, talk to some familiar auction guests, and go over the history of the WNIN Channel 9 auction. We start with the changes, how to get started, and getting that great deal, and helping support your public television station. Emily Wilderman is here. She's director of events and the theater at WNIN, a relatively new hire here at the station. So Emily, you come to work here, and then COVID-19 happens.
Yes, I've got a running joke with some family and friends that, you know, who starts an events job in the middle of a pandemic? And that would be me. I'm that person. So we've had quite a few challenges, but it's given us the opportunity to be creative and think outside of the box for some of the events that we've got coming up.
Now, what's your background before you came here?
Mm-hmm. I came directly to WNIN from the University of Evansville. I was the assistant to one of the vice presidents there, and I was also the special events coordinator for the campus. So I've been working in events for many years. Started out in catering, doing private events and caterings, and just found that I really enjoy it and I've got a knack for it.
Well, this is going to be a challenge, and I know it has been a challenge. You've been working on this for months. So tell us about the, of course, obviously, people are used to the chaos of the studio, people running around and people shouting and people at the phone bank and crazy costumes and et cetera, et cetera. This year, the format is much different.
Yes, it is. Because of social distancing regulations, we've had to eliminate as many volunteers as possible. We'll still have some staff in the building and some production volunteers, but we're trying to keep it to a minimum, and so there will not be a phone bank this year. I know a lot of our auction fans enjoy the phone bank and calling and bidding live, but this year we've got some new opportunities. We are going to do all online bidding. We have a bidding platform that has been established. The registration for that will begin on August 1st. So as of August 1st, all of our fans can go on and register so that they can start bidding. They can take a look at all of the items we've got for several weeks. And then on August 28th, the bidding will go live. And you'll be able to bid on your favorite items. We have many, many items that we've had in the past and many new items as well. So bidding will begin on August 28th with the live broadcast beginning on September 16th. So the opportunity to bid goes on for about 2 or 3 weeks this year.
So now the live portion on television, how many days will that run?
We are only going to do 5 days live this year. That's also a change from the past. We've decided that it's just going to be easier this way, especially with some of our local businesses being hit hard by the pandemic. We may not have as many items that are donated as we have had in previous years. So we will do 5 evenings at 3 hours each. We'll begin on Wednesday, September 16th and go through Sunday, September 20th. And we will be live from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. each night.
Can you talk about some of the big items that are on the block this year?
Yeah, of course. We have several big ticket items that we're really excited about. We have our rainbow bench back again from Green Tree Plastics this year. That has always been a favorite in the past. Ohio Valley Solar has donated 2 solar panels. So if you're considering going to solar energy, it might be a nice way to start investigating that. We've got lots of landscaping services from various local landscaping companies. Nightlighters has donated a certificate towards a low voltage outdoor lighting system. That's been a pretty popular item in the past. We've got some jewelry. We've got some event items as well. And we are making sure with the donors that the events, if they should be canceled over the next year, can be rescheduled and their tickets can be reimbursed through a different means. We've got some USI and UE athletic donations, and we are still collecting donated items. So if anyone out there has an item that they think might be a good fit for our auction and they'd like to donate it, they can get in touch with me.
It's also a good way for these companies to get some promotion too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this year it's a little different too, because you're not just getting the on-air promotion, you're also getting promotion on the bidding platform. So when people are on there looking at the items, they'll see your business. We give a little brief description about the business and the item you've donated. And so there's 2 ways to get your promotions this year.
And it's a great way for maybe a startup company or something to just get noticed in the community.
Absolutely.
So that's our pitch there, folks.
Yeah.
Get on board. Now, it's very important, of course, for the station to have the support of the viewers to keep the lights on here. So the auction is very important every year.
Yes, absolutely. It is our single largest fundraiser that we have for the station. The proceeds from the auction fund our mission. As you all know, we deliver engaging public media that informs, entertains, and inspires. And in order to keep that happening, we have to do some successful fundraisers. And this one is our largest one of the year.
Well, I know people count on WNIN, FM, and the television station to provide accurate reporting and quality programming. And this is a chance to really show your support and come away with some neat items as well. Definitely.
Absolutely.
So again, the final pitch, the online information, how do they get involved?
Yeah. To find out how to register, you can go to our website at WNIN.org/auction. Or if you're tech savvy and you really just want a simple way, all you have to do is text WNIN to 243-725. And immediately a link will be sent to your phone that you would just click and then go and register to bid for the items.
Again, what's that number again?
It is text the letters WNIN to 243-725.
And when can people start bidding?
People will be able to start bidding on August 28th.
Any item on there that interests you?
Oh, so many of them. I'm very interested in some of the jewelry. I keep sending photos to my husband saying, hey, you're going to have to bid on some of these. And then I'm an events kind of gal. So anything that has to do with, you know, restaurants or going to an event, we've got some theater tickets. We've got some athletics tickets. I really like to go out and enjoy our local community. So there's quite a few opportunities for that this year as well.
Emily Wilderman, events coordinator here at WNIN. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you, David.
I remember the WNIN auctions at the Carpenter House before the move here to the current location at Riverside in Maine in downtown Evansville. Auctions, of course, are chaotic, as expected, with high energy and with some familiar faces. A cast of characters, you might say, including Bob and Becky Zimmerman, longtime supporters of public media. And that support goes all the way back to the very first WNIN-TV auction. Bob and Becky Zimmerman, welcome to 2 Main Street. So, Bob, let's start with you. Tell us about that first auction. Where and when, Bob?
That was what, back in McCutcheonville School back in 1974. They actually had it in 1970 and then lost it a couple years later, but reopened in 74. So that was the first one down in the bowels of the McCutcheonville School. It was quite exciting, quite interesting. And my... in their gymnasium, I got corrected there.
And that was Becky.
voice from the past. Yeah. And first job was setting up for a live auction, and we learned to put these paddle fans together in 3 minutes to get them on air, and then we had to get them off air, and then the next piece of furniture up. So had a training right in the bath of fire, but it was quite interesting and got me hooked on it ever since. Of course, the real reason I did it, I had a sympathy for the bids that were coming in. Sometimes I didn't think they were high enough, so I would buy the item, and I ended up 1 year with 6 cubic yards of concrete. I mean, I put it in the back of my house on the patio, and I could take a direct nuclear blast because it's 4 thick. We've had some very unusual ones over the years. One of them was a live hog. Now, that probably wasn't the high point of my career, but it was a 350-pound hog. A grandfather had a farm, and he loved to get his granddaughter on air. So out would come the hog. We'd have that right on the studio floor, and there was a nice rug underneath it because he left a little offering for us frequently. And we'd get the granddaughter on and talk to her, and we'd sell the pig. But we got a pretty good price on the pig. We'd usually get about $400, $450 on it, but... that was a bit exciting. One of the most unusual ones, though, I think I had were ostrich eggs back in the late 70s. That was a big, big item for breeding ostriches. Well, Gene Pfeiffer, one of our donors from Mount Vernon, Indiana, rather.
Oh, he was on the board.
Yeah, he was on the board, donated some ostrich eggs. And this was, he had one of the 2 licenses in the United States to import ostriches and ostrich eggs. So he donated a couple. We had bidders. I was astonished. One from California, one from Texas, one from Oklahoma, one from Wyoming. They were bidding to get a hold of these ostriches and ostrich eggs. We got quite good prices on them. They ran, they're huge. They ran about $500 a piece, as I remember.
Now, and, now, of course, when we have the auction, we have a lot of people that would come in and operate the call center. And, of course, they would... these companies would come in, and they would have, like, different themes, wouldn't they? And they'd wear costumes and funny hats?
We had one very memorable event on that. The movie out, Blazing Saddles, came out about midway, I think, in the, I guess it was in the late 70s, early 80s. And they took off on that with blazing, little paraphrase on that, blazing gavels. Everybody, we had to wear our cowboy hats, our boots, our blue jeans, our cowboy shirts, and that sort of led into the next year we'd have costume nights. Some nights we'd come in as star troopers. Sometimes we'd come in as baseball players. It was a costume night. It added a lot of fun to it. And we had, you know, a party night or a swimming night. Of course, the inflated balls would be flying around all over the place. It got exciting, a little out of control at times. I don't think we killed anybody. Probably damaged a few cameras, but didn't kill any. So that was good.
Well, I think that's the whole. Allure of the auction, and over the years, is that you never knew what was going to happen next.
I had one on that. We had the scariest time I ever had. David was. We broadcast on, we'd go for 2 weeks frequently, and on Sunday afternoon we'd have a preview at 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and then 4 o'clock we'd start the auction. Fine. It was set up that the auctioneers were to come from the school corporation. Here at 1:30 we hadn't heard from anybody. At 1:45 nobody. We got on the phones. and didn't get any answer. At 2 o'clock, we went live on air. Well, there was nobody there. Becky was there, myself, and a cameraman. And here we are going live and sweating bullets. As it turns out, they had miscommunicated with the school corporation and told them to be out there at 4 o'clock, knowing teachers they'll be right on time, be out there at 4 o'clock, not at 2 o'clock. So for 2 hours, they got there about 15 minutes early. So an hour and 45 minutes, there was three of us. We put the camera on stationary. Becky and I auctioneered, and there was one person on the phones. That was probably the scariest one I ever had. My worst nightmare was realized. I thought we overcame it.
Oh. That's called tap dancing for a long time. Now, can put Becky on the phone here for a second?
I got her right here.
Okay. Hi, Becky.
Hello.
What, you're the kind of the floor general of the auction, keeping people in line. Is that the best way to describe your role?
Yeah, probably. And there were things that I knew that Bob could not. There was one word that kind of threw him for a loop. And we would have arguments over it. And I said, that's not how you pronounce that. Well, I was upstairs at the time, and I was listening. I think I may have been bidding on something because you could not bid on the floor. You had to leave the outside or go in another room and bid on it. Nobody could bid while they were on the floor. And I looked at that, and it had cocktail. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, Bob is not going to pronounce this correctly. And I'm running down the ramp there. And I finally got him to know what he was saying because he was not going to pronounce that word correctly.
Okay.
And they were selling a cocktail table. Bob thought, for some reason, he grew up thinking that was T-O-T, hot tail.
Enough of Becky. She doesn't want to talk anymore.
Oh, well, listen, I tell you, you guys are, I think Tim Black calls you guys the glue of the auction every year. You keep it all together and make sure it runs as smoothly as possible. I know that's always a challenge.
Oh, I've got another. Can I give you one more story?
You go right ahead, Bob.
I know you'll. I loved it. Get me started, and I never quit talking. But we had one situation, a friend of ours, Chuck Brunson, retired back in about 2008. He was abbreviated. He loved to deal in woodworking. He would make tables, chairs, and all this. He also liked to make birdhouses. And we suggested, David, you're doing such a great job. Why don't you build a birdhouse and donate it to Channel 9 and see if it works or not? And as it turns out, they've become one of our most popular items now. His wife, he retired. His wife suggested he go out to the garage and work out there. Bless Carolyn's heart. Put up with it. We've always got to have something to occupy our sweet little mind. But now he's up to the point where he donates one for each night of the auction. If the auction's 7 nights, he's got 7 of them. It's 14. He's got 14 of them. And just to look, his most popular ones he's ever had was one that he did of the, it does a replica of the Greyhound bus station. That one went crazy. We had one on Old National Bank, the Wrights home, and also did the Evansville Pagoda. These are very, very popular, and they put them out in their backyard. Now, just as a little teaser, this year we're coming before Halloween. And he's got what he calls his psycho house. It's a new one this year. It's a Bates Hotel birdhouse. So we got something to go forward to now. A little bizarre, but we got something to go forward with.
Well, before we end this conversation, Tim Black, of course, one of the corporation guys here at WNIN, said, ask Bob about the West Side Nut Club and the WNIN auction.
That was always interesting when the Nut Club came in. They were quite enthusiastic, maybe a little more so than they should have been, but they always really helped out with the auction, and it was unexpected at times, their exuberance. But we really, really appreciated them coming. Did I phrase that well?
Well, they brought the refreshments with them, didn't they?
Yeah, you would call that sort of big beer truck rolled up there. So we were a very lively night from that point on. Oh, boy. Yeah, it was fun.
My God.
I'll shut up after that. We were live down at the house. The home that we currently have, Carpenter House. I'm sorry, I can't get my head on straight. We were in a Carpenter House, live auction, and I hear these fire engines just blowing all over town. They were rolling, rocking, everything screaming, and then the emergency trucks coming in. I said, what's going on? There's a fire in the office downtown. I said, well, where is that fire? He said, in the IBM building. That's where our office was, on the main floor. So I had that deer in the headlights look with my eyes. I know I got somebody to take over masterminding the auction, and I said, I've got to run down there and see if my office is on fire. I ran down there, and they said, no, it's not on fire. There's a bird nest that stuffed up the exhaust fan and everything. And the fireman I was talking to, he said, by the way, Bob, I bid on a lawnmower, and could you tell me if I've got the best bid on that now? Interesting what you run into. That, I guess, wasn't my high priority at that time, but we did get his bid for him, okay? See, I think he ended up with a lawnmower.
Bob and Becky Zimmerman, it's been a great talking to you guys. Thank you so much for supporting public media all these years in the tri-state. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, David. You take care, buddy.
You too. Thank you. Thanks, Becky. Bye-bye. Coming up, we'll hear from one of the veteran hosts of the auction, Scott Wiley. His favorite auction memories, some of the stranger items on the block, and why he's all in when it comes to supporting public media in the tri-state. Birdhouse creator Chuck Brunson will tell us more about his latest Psycho project, and WNIN Vice President Tim Black looks at the books and how nonprofits are meeting the challenge of raising funds during the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street.
That's a pretty good deal.
It's a pretty good deal. With
I don't know much about math, Scott, as
you
we
don't,
well know.
As we
but
well
that's
know.
A pretty darn good deal.
Smith. Oh, there we go.
Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James, and we're gearing up for the WNIN-TV auction coming up in September. Because of social distancing concerns due to COVID-19, there will be no phone bank or crowded studio. This will be an online auction. So, to get started, go to WNIN.org/auction. There, you'll find a link to register and see the items on the auction block. The bidding goes live August 28th. The TV auction begins September 16th and runs through September 20th from 7 to 10 each evening. There will be hosts in the studio to keep the show in high gear, including some familiar auctioneers. And you'll be able to bid on favorite items, like the Rainbow Bench and the Chuck Brunson Birdhouses. Veteran WNIN auction host Scott Wiley is in the house. Scott, the auction is, of course, going to be dramatically different this time around, but still as important to the future of public media in the tri-state. Would you agree?
Absolutely. That was a softball question to start off, David.
Know, that's the way it goes.
Well, it's so important. You know, this is a tradition in our community. We're one of the few stations that still does an auction live and does it to raise money for our public media work. And it's just such a tradition in our community. I'm so glad that we're going to be able to continue it, even if we have to do it slightly differently during COVID times.
Well, yes, slightly differently. You're right. So no studio audience. Usually it's chaos in the studio. The people from the different companies come in, man the phone bank. They wear silly costumes and hats and everything, and are rather boisterous. And people kind of step on each other's toes and walk in front of the camera. You know, just kind of your basic stuff. So none of that this year. No studio audience.
Well, and, you know, and I hope one of the things I always told people why it was fun to watch the auction, other than please bid and please support the station, mm-hmm. it was live television. And that's something we don't get a chance to see very often anymore. And that chaos was all part of that. People who walked behind the scene when you didn't know the camera was on, people that forget that they're still mic'd, all those wonderful things that happen with live television, which makes it somewhat of a train wreck sometimes, but at the same time makes it really enjoyable to watch.
Well, I always like it when, you know, you're waiting for a cue or something. And it never happens, and you've been on the air, you know, and you're fiddling around and stuff. This is neat. People love this at home, though.
Well, and people love watching because they see their friends and their colleagues, people mm-hmm. from companies and from organizations that they respect and know, donating their time to come and be on television, which some of us have done more than others. And some of us are perhaps better than others at. And I think some of the most fun I've ever watched is watching people who've never been on television before and that you would have no idea, but they turn out to be the most charming personalities and have such a good time that it comes through the television.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes people, you look at them and they have that deer in the headlight look at first and you go, oh, this is going to be terrible. And then all of a sudden some kind of light goes off in their cranium. And they're charming as can be, and they're just naturals.
Well, and I think a lot of people, you know, I know it really looks terribly polished to the home viewer all the time, but a lot of times we don't get the scripts or even know what we're going to be auctioning until just moments before they're handed to us. And I think one of the funniest things that I deal with every year, and by the way, the audience should always know, there is someone with that button on the 7-second delay, but you'll be handed, and I'll give a shout out to one of our great underwriters, Sweet Schmitz. They're one of the most generous people, businesses in town. By the way, North Main Street, chocolate shop, candy, great stuff. But try to say that without worrying that you're going to accidentally say a curse word sometimes. It's things like that when you get handed the script and you're trying so hard to make sure that the FCC does not have to come down on WNIN. And that's what makes it kind of fun, because you can see that in the people that are volunteering and that are on air. Is they're wanting to do a good job. They're trying really hard, but they're also trying to have a good time.
I think we had a typo on that that firm.
Probably.
On the board one time, and we had to correct that one. But
I sometimes think that some of the individuals who set up the auction may accidentally put typos in just to have a few of us flub up occasionally.
Of course, you know, I've done a few of this the auctioneering bits, and I always get like the an item that I have no knowledge of at all. And you have to tap dance sometimes for 10 minutes selling a vacuum cleaner or a burial plot.
Absolutely. The burial plots are some of our best. They go for a lot of money.
I know they do.
We all need those.
But, I mean, that's the challenge to keep it going.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that I really love that when you look, when you see who volunteers for the auction, and you've done it for years, one of the great joys when you volunteer like I do, I've gotten to work with Angie Humphrey from over at Channel 25, got to work with you for when you were at Channel 14 and now here. Media personalities, radio and television from this commercial side, come over and volunteer and help those of us that aren't as perhaps skilled on television or in radio. And what a joy for the audience to see that people coming together from all different areas of media to support our public option in our community, and to get to see the differing level of skills. And by the way, it's sometimes funny. Sometimes some of our television and radio folks aren't as good as Rachel Goldman.
Rachel Goldman, the pawnbroker, stand-up comic,
that
Rachel Goldman.
Bet there aren't many of those in the world.
Now, that's a pretty good moniker for her. Now, what are some of the stranger items that you've had to auction over the years,
well,
Scott Wiley?
I will tell you that some of the things that are fascinating is not that they're so strange, but they're matched together. That I remember once we had a lot of items that included a pickup truck strap, a Victorian doll, and a used puzzle. I don't quite know what the theme of that lot of items was. That was a package. But there are sometimes you get things like that all the time that are really fun. And then you get things that you have no idea what in the world they are, like you said. And then I think one of the sweetest things that I've ever gotten to do, and Tim Black and I now do this annually, is a wonderful recycling company in town donates a bench every year. The first time we sold that bench, we sold it on air, and we offered to deliver it with a bottle of Chardonnay. which we shouldn't say on public television or radio. And a person bought it for a lot of money. It was something like $1,200. And then they called the station and said they wanted to have us donate that bench to a children's charity, but they still wanted the Chardonnay. So we got to take her the bottle of Chardonnay, but that year we donated it to Carver Community Center. Mm-hmm. And that tradition, everyone who has bought that bench since mm-hmm. has donated it to a charity in
That's
town.
Great.
That's just another example of how people support the station mm-hmm. with a unique and weird item. That those benches, by the way, are made of recycled bottle caps mm-hmm. that kids in our community collect to learn about recycling. A wonderful example of how this community comes together in so many unique ways.
And we also have the birdhouses every year. The very unique birdhouses. I think we have a Bates Motel this year.
Oh, I hope.
And it's kind of a strange Halloween theme.
I feel bad. I don't remember his name, but there's this it's wonderful gentleman that he works all year long building these really elaborate birdhouses that are either local iconic buildings. Like I remember we auctioned one of the Greyhound bus station where sure. Brewburger is now. We've auctioned the Wrights home before. A number of different things. And then he also will do iconic buildings like that, like from mm-hmm. Psycho or other places. It's just a unique thing to get. And they're great for your yard.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, this year it's going to be, as I was saying, virtual auction. But you're going to play a part. And you might be in the studio, maybe with one other person, maybe a camera person.
I've done several of these events now, and it is quite odd. But one of the things that helps when we are trying to maintain as much of that, when you say virtual, that we want to come into people's homes mm-hmm. and we want to make them enjoy the event as much as they ever have. But that takes, of course, people calling in and selling the items. Mm-hmm. So I hope that we're able to accomplish the best of the auction from past years with the new virtual reality that mm-hmm. we're in now.
So the hosts will have to bring their A game. Because there had to really be salespeople
absolutely.
Out there.
Absolutely. That's and you know, and it's the constant reminding of people that what this goes for. I can think of no time in my life where public media was more meaningful to keep up to date with what's going on nationally, internationally, what's going on locally with our own outbreaks of COVID-19 and everything else. And if there's a year that I can, with sincerity, sell this station and sell our television partner, it's this year. Because the importance of this auction and the importance of these items to helping that mission, it's been no easier year to try to sell that mission.
Can you remember your first time auctioning on Channel 9?
I do. I can remember. I started doing radio drives in 2006, a year after I moved back. And they asked me to do, I volunteered for the auction. I think it was USI. I was on the phone bank the first couple of times I volunteered. And the first time I auctioneered, I think, was 2010. And I only did one night. And I just remember it was the first time I'd ever done live television. I've been on the radio many times, but it was the first time I'd ever done live television and getting the mic on, getting the mic off, doing this, sitting on the X, making sure you don't stray from the screen, making sure you hold your hands in the right place. Over the years, I've learned so many things from media professionals locally that I often joke that, you know, that if I don't get on the auction, my television career is going in the toilet.
Now, this was, of course, at the Carpenter House, the old
yes.
Carpenter House, which was a kind of a unique venue for a television station, but it worked. And we got a lot of people in that. It's like a kind of like a annex to the house.
Yeah. It, you know, for those of the listeners have never been in the Carpenter House, it was this really grand, you know, late Victorian home. And then it had this giant studio built on the back of it. And we actually had, believe it or not, we had more room there than we even have in this wonderful new media facility now. But we also, of course, now have the theater and all this other wonderful stuff here. But that old building provided the opportunity for us to really showcase what both our television and radio stations do for the community. And that auction, which is, you know, is almost as old as I am, and has been on the air since as long as I can remember turning on a television, has continued to delight people with its unique mix of being able to get a good deal occasionally. And by the way, if you get a full price gift card, I'm sure we'll have an appetizer
somewhere for you, of course.
Your overbid. Always, here's the strategy, by the way, if there's a $25 gift card to the Cork and Cleaver or the Peephole, just spend $26, you win it, and then you'll get an appetizer somewhere else.
People have learned that trick. I've noticed that over the years. I talked to Bob Zimmerman. He was one of the hosts of the first auction
house
at the old McCutcheonville School.
Yep.
And he said he had to auction off a live hog one time over there. But he had some great stories to tell, and that's part of this program as well. I know one time, this is maybe 2 years ago, I had to auction off an item. Bee Vomit.
Yes.
That was the title of it.
Yes, it
was. That was the label, Bee Vomit.
That was from the former executive director of Wesselman's Woods. That's what he called his bee honey.
It was his pure honey from his backyard, I guess.
Which, of course, many of us did not know what that actually was honey was created.
We had to say that many times. And every once in a while, people will come up to me and they have you got any of that bee vomit left from the auction? But anyway, all kinds of surprises at the auction. We're going to have a lot of fun this year as well. Scott Wiley, one final pitch for people to take part in the WNIN auction.
Well, this gives you a chance to watch and continue to support the station, at the same time getting good deals. The more you watch, the more chances you have to get a good deal. It's like that. And there's more, just like Ginsu Knives. Be sure and tune in. It's an important way to support the wonderful work that WNIN does.
Bid high, bid often. You'll hear that a lot as well. Scott Wiley, veteran WNIN Channel 9 auction host, thank you so much for being my guest.
Happy to be here. Okay, so nice to see you, David.
Thanks, Scott. WNIN has a long list of loyal auction supporters, including Chuck Brunson, who donates his handcrafted, unique, one-of-a-kind wood birdhouses. He's done this for years. Chuck Brunson joins us now on the phone with a preview of some of his latest creations. So, Chuck, what have you come up with this year?
Okay, the latest ones, I've got some Christmas time and Halloween, but the one that's kind of unique for this year is a replica of the Bates home on the movie Psycho. So I try to get a couple of different replicas every year of some farm or another, whether it be in the years past, it was the Greyhound bus station or the train museum, or the Wrights Museum, either one. So it's just a little bit of whatever I happen to see and whatever kind of inspires me.
Well, tell me about this Bates Motel birdhouse.
Well, it's if you ever see the movie Psycho, it's a little bit on the scary side. It's basically a fairly big-sized birdhouse. And it's the top of it, it actually lights up. There's a little light on the inside, and it's got a picture of a Norman Bates actually a little mannequin of him on the porch. So I usually just try to develop or get online and try to find pictures, and that's how I come up with different things I'm hoping people will buy.
Now these, I guess they're really not used as birdhouses, are they? They're decorations, really.
Well, I don't think people ever use them for a birdhouse. So they may put them in a screened-in porch. Because some of them, some Halloween ones and some Christmas ones that actually light up. They have battery packs that light up. So I'm sure I wouldn't think people would put them outside, but you never know. Yeah, this is for the upcoming auction. They've already, Channel 9's already got the birdhouses that we're talking about. Now, I try to get a few of them ahead because my garage is so hot during the summertime. I keep working it, so I'll go out there. You know, it might take me a week to build one, but I don't work on it consistently. I may work a couple hours, or if I paint something and take it up, let the paint dry. It's a hobby. But Bob Zimmerman Sr. is the one that got me started in all this. When I retired, he asked me what I was doing, and I told him I was making all just yard ornaments, and that's how I got started in the birdhouses. But it's kind of evolved for men. It gives me an opportunity to get back to the Evansville community. I think Evansville's been good to not just myself, but my family, and it's in a small way, although it's not a huge donation. But over 10, 15 years, it all adds up.
Well, Chuck, thank you so much for supporting WNIN. Appreciate it. Thank you. Coming up, the challenges facing nonprofits, including WNIN, during this COVID-19 pandemic. We'll hear from WNIN Vice President Tim Black about the station's important role in the community and the importance of the TV auction to keep the programs on the air and the lights on here at 2 Main Street. And find out how you can get a sneak peek at the items on the auction block in September and when you can start bidding on those items. We'll be right back.
We are back on the WNIN Spring Auction, and yes, we are on the infamous Rainbow Bench, and we are going to be selling this right now, folks.
Welcome back to 2 Main Street, and if you are just joining us, we're talking about the WNIN TV auction coming up in September. It will be an online auction, no studio audience, no phone bank because of social distancing restrictions, but the excitement will be there. To get started, go to WNIN.org/auction. There you'll find a link to register and see the items up for auction. The bidding goes live August 28th. The TV auction begins September 16th and runs through September 20th from 7 to 9 each evening. The WNIN TV auction is a major fundraiser for public media in the tri-state, and with the online format due to the COVID-19 pandemic, it's more important than ever to rally to the cause. Tim Black is WNIN's Vice President for Development. And Tim, this has been, of course, a challenging time for all nonprofits. So it's time to get creative, isn't it?
Absolutely. David, first of all, thanks for having us on the show. And I'm going to correct one slight thing you just said. The auction is a big fundraiser, but technically speaking, it is our largest
fundraiser of
the year. It often brings in well over $100,000 to us. So that should underscore to most people why it was so important that we try to do this at some point before our fiscal year ends. So yes, it has been a challenging year, David, and we are getting creative, and that's particularly why people really need to step up, pay attention, and still play along, even though the auction might not look like it always has in the past.
So when did the station decide not to have the normal in-person studio auction?
Well, you know, we decided early on in the springtime when the auction would have normally been on the air. That would have been about mid-April. That, of course, was at the height of the beginning of the pandemic and the COVID situation. We immediately decided at that point, the auction is so volunteer intensive. On every night of the auction when we're on the air, we usually have anywhere between 50 and 60 people in this building. And it just wasn't possible. And unfortunately, it still isn't possible, but we decided that there had to be some way, as they say, for the show to go on, and that's what we're trying to do.
Well, there was just no way to keep people 6 feet apart
No.
with all those people in that studio, because
No.
you'd have the phone bank, and you'd have people wandering in and out and bringing in materials and people bringing in food. It just was, well, the chaos was part of the excitement of that.
Absolutely, David, and that's one of the things that we will certainly miss inside the building. We're going to do our very best to make sure that we still have a fun, interesting television show on the air. But if people have been watching for 40 some years, which is how long the auction's been on the air, they're going to see some things that are a little bit different. You mentioned the big one being we're not going to be able to support the phone bank. And I know we've probably covered that a few times already, that one of the biggest changes to this auction is that you're not going to be able to pick up the phone and make a bid. You're going to have to be registered on a website and bid online.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the importance of the auction to the station's bottom line. Can you Tell us more about that.
Yeah. You know, as I said, David, it is the single largest fundraiser for us. And I think, as with any nonprofit, we don't operate in an arena in which we really surpass budgets and goals. We operate very, very close to budgets and goals every year. And if one piece of that puzzle sort of falls off the table, it can really severely affect us. And, you know, WNIN is no different than anyone else in that respect. And when you talk about something in terms of the auction, which could generate easily $100,000 to $110,000, if that kind of money is suddenly not in our coffers for a fiscal year, it hurts. It's not easy for us to make that up.
Now, Tim Black, you're not always sitting behind the desk as vice president for development. You are also a host of the auction. And
yes.
One of your cohorts was on my program, Scott Wiley.
Oh, no.
You guys are quite a duo. And how did that partnership come about?
Wow. You know, David, First of all, I love Scott dearly. He and I have been very close friends here in Evansville for a long time. So that's probably how the partnership has formed. And you know how those things happen. I think people either really love us or probably just got tired of seeing us enough. They very, oh, well, put them on again. I actually, long before I started working at WNIN, had been invited to be an auctioneer or host on the auction. So I've been doing it for a while. Scott and I, somewhere along the way, got teamed up, and you know, we sort of have been that pairing ever since. We've become very famous, of course, for the Rainbow Bench that is becoming very popular and donated every year. And you know, we've had
and
a lot of fun with it.
Donated.
Exactly, and that's one of the great things. You know, Scott and I have had a lot of fun with auctioning that. But I think it's one of the really special stories of this auction in that about 5 years ago now, a woman in the community, in fact, I'm going to just use her name, Marcia Alexandrovich. I know she's a longtime supporter of the station, and she would have no problem with her mentioning her name. She got this trend started in that we were auctioning off the bench one night, and even Scott and I were surprised. Suddenly, the price is bumping up. We're at $1,000, and now we're past $1,000, and we're like, what's going on? Marcia, wonderful gesture in that she purchased the bench, which of course was a great donation to WNIN, but then she asked that the bench in turn be donated to a children's organization in the area so that the kids could enjoy and use that bench. And ever since that happened for the first time about 5 years ago, every year the folks at Green Tree donate that every year. Every buyer since then has done the very same thing. Mm-hmm. They purchase the bench, which the proceeds go to WNIN, and then they in turn designate another organization in the community, usually to do with children, to be able to get the use of the bench, which I think is fantastic.
Can you share any kind of maybe bizarre auction moment that sticks in your memory?
Oh, my.
I know you've had a lot of interesting items you've had to auction off and maybe some surprises. Anything that you like to recall?
You know, the one thing that I will recall, and I, you know, I could share lots of stories, David, but I think at the time that your listeners are listening to this audience, we probably couldn't tell all of them. But again, Scott and I were auctioning one year, and we had a pair of like counter stools, bar type seats. And you know, when you're an auctioneer on the air, you get the list of items in your segment, and then you also get about a paragraph of a description.
And then you have to tap dance.
And do that. But it was so funny that year that, you know, this wasn't anything we made up. I mean, we literally got our little card that had the description on it, and these bar chairs came out that had been generously donated, but part of the description was that they were slightly soiled.
Yeah. And you had to read that?
Exactly. And so, of course, and Scott and I, never to be deterred, we repeated that line just as often as we could during the segment, and somebody actually did buy them. So I hope they're enjoying their slightly soiled bar stool.
Well, I tell you, the auction's going to continue. It's going to be online and on air.
That's right.
The excitement will be there.
That's
I know
right.
You and Scott will.
We will be on.
Make sure it's exciting.
We will be on.
The pressure will be on you guys, definitely. So I hope everybody tunes in and goes online and spreads the word about the WNIN auction. One last pitch?
Absolutely. Well, I think I will pick up right there, David. You know, once again, this year, we will not be taking donations or bids over the telephone. So if you want to participate, you need to go online. You can find it on the WNIN website. There's information for texting that to get a link. You simply need to register, enter your information, and then you're going to bid from your phone or your computer. And, you know, the wonderful world of technology will tell you if you've been outbid, if you need to bid again. Even some of the items, David, they're going to be available for you to buy right then and there. You don't even have to wait for the TV show. But, you know, if you've bought anything at Amazon or at Walmart.com or Target.com, you know exactly how to use the system. We're just going to be doing it at WNIN this year instead of having you bid on the telephone.
And some of the favorite items will be back. Big ticket items appear every auction.
Yes.
So that's great. And be sure to bid often and bid high.
That's exactly right, David. Bid big, bid often, whatever words you want to use. We just want to get that money in the door. And you get to take away a nice item at the same time. So that's fantastic.
And support this station.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely.
Tim Black, thank you so much for being my guest on 2 Main Street.
Thanks, David.
That's a pretty good deal.
It's a pretty good deal. If
I don't know much about math, Scott. As
you
we
don't
well know.
As we
but
well
that's
know.
A pretty darn good deal.
Smith. Oh, there we go.
And all the money stays at WNIN PBS TV right here locally to support the great local program and national program. That's why we're here.
Only about 20 bucks away from making this over, but that's the Play the, Kitchen
yes,
set.
They say they're gone.
They're gone.
But I say so!
Again, here's how to get started. Go to WNIN.org/auction. There you will find a link to register for the online auction and see what's on the auction block. Bidding goes live August 28th. The TV auction starts September 16th and runs through September 20th from 7 to 10 each night. To Main Street on 88.3 WNIN-FM airs Thursday at noon and Saturday at 11. And our interviews are also online at WNIN.org.